The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
At the end of Parashas Vayera, we have a very well-known and famous section which deals with what is known as the Akedah Yitzchok, the binding of Yitzchok on the altar, sacrificing of Yitzchok. Let's spend some time this evening to perhaps gain a few insights into this section. Vayhi achar advarim ha'ela, this is in Vayera, Perek Chof Beis, Chapter Chof Beis 22. Vayhi achar advarim ha'ela, v'lekim nisuas Avraham, it took place after these things, and Hashem came to test Avraham. Later on, we will see why it was necessary for Hashem to test Avraham. Avraham, and he said to him, Avraham, and Avraham said, "Here I am." He said, "Please take your son, Eshichitcho, your only son, Asherohavto, which you love, Eshitzchok. Lech locho al eretz ha-Morio, and go to the land of Morio, va'aleihu shom le'olo, and bring him up there for a offering, an offering, al achad ha'orim asher omar elecho, on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." Rashi comments, what did we need all of this introduction for? Is Bincho, Shechitcho, Asherohavto, Yitzchok, your son, your only son, which you love, Yitzchok. Why didn't Hashem say immediately, take Yitzchok? When he said, "Is Bincho, your son," so Avraham answered. Actually, we're dealing here with three or four statements. First, Hashem said, "Your son." So Avraham replied, "Shnei bonim yeshli, I have two sons. What son are you referring to?" Then Hashem said, "Eshechitcho, your only son." So Avraham replied, "Ze yochid limay v'ze yochid limay. Each one is an only son to his mother. Yitzchok is an only son to Sora, and Yishmael is an only son to Hogar." Omalei, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Asher after." I'm referring to the son which you love. Omalei, so Hashem, Avraham replied, "Shnehem ani oev, I love both of them." Finally, Hashem said, "I am referring to Yitzchok." So actually, it took four statements to clarify what Hashem meant. So why was all of this necessary? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said immediately, "Take Yitzchok." Shelela arve v'pisoim, in order not to come upon Avraham suddenly and confuse him with the suach daito alof, and then he will lose his good sound logic, vitorif, and he'll become very, very confused. That's one reason. Another reason, kidei lachavim alof as a mitzvah liten laischara kol diba v'dibor. Another reason, in order to endear the mitzvah to him and to give him a reward on every dibor, on every statement. The second reason, we won't have time for this this evening, but let's go into this first reason. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu come immediately and tell him who he meant? In order that he shouldn't confuse him. Now, one explanation in this is that perhaps had he done so, perhaps Abraham, it would have been too much for Abraham. To come to Abraham, Abraham waited so many years for a son. When he was 100 years old, he finally gave birth to him. And this son was to be the heir of Abraham and the heir for Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael was given to Abraham and his children. And the heir for all of the teachings of Abraham, which was revealed later to Moshe and Harsina. So had he come immediately and commanded, "Kill your son Yitzchok," it would have caused such confusion and such panic that perhaps he wouldn't have been able to cope with it. Wouldn't have been able to cope. That could be one explanation. And this It's somewhat implied in the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Peites, where the Gemara merely says, in order that his mind should not become totally unsettled and incoherent. You could say perhaps another explanation, that even if Avraham would have accepted the situation, but it would not have been with a das lema, would not have been with a pure, good logic, but it would have been merely a spontaneous response to a panic situation. What would have been wrong with that? Then it wouldn't have been a true test. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he tests a person, he wants a response, he wants the person to respond from good, clear logic, from a good will. He doesn't want to corner or force the person into it, because that's not a true showing of the person. And this we see a little later, because in Pasuk Dalet it states, "Bayema shlishi vayisa Avraham ezeinov," that Avraham did not see the mountain that Hashem was referring to until the third day. Only then. So Rashi tells us, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it possible where he could see the mountain immediately? In order that people shouldn't say later on that he was panicked into doing this act. Had he had time to think it over with a cool, clear conscience and a cool, clear intelligence, he certainly would have backed out of it. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want people to say that, and therefore he did not show Avraham the mountain until 3 days, where he had 3 days to think it over. And still he went ahead with it. So we see that it was done with a good, clear conscience and a good, clear intelligence. So either, we can say either explanation, but it both boils down to the same thing, that Kodesh Baruch Hu did not want to spring on Avraham Pesach Tishayim all of a sudden, without any warning, but slowly approach him in order that the response would be a true response, not one of panic, or not one where he would frighten Avraham because of the panic situation. The Gurayi comments on 3 days. What is 3 days? He says, we find that a person, after 3 days, settles down. For example, there's a halacha in Masechta Brachos, which states, in those days when people used to daven with such kavona, with such intent, today we don't have that intent. So therefore, many of the halachas of kavonas hatfilah, of intent in praying, do not apply to us, because even under the best situations, we don't daven with so much kavona. But in those days that they did, so there's a halacha that if someone comes in from a journey, he shouldn't daven until 3 days, because it takes him 3 days to settle down and get back to himself. So we find this 3 days. This is what the Gurayi says. We find it in another place also, by Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the people, and he told Moshe to tell the people that I'm going to give the Torah, I want the people to prepare themselves. So he said, prepare yourself, prepare yourself for the third day, for 3 days prepare yourself. What can we learn from here? When a person wants to approach another person to tell him something which is of great consequence and great gravity, he shouldn't spring on him. He shouldn't just tell him without any warning, but rather slowly lead up to it. This we learn from here, because this is how Kodesh Baruch Hu approached Avraham Avinu. Instead of telling him immediately, take Yitzchak, he said, first take your son. And Avraham had to clarify, which son? He said, your only son. He says, both are only sons. The one you love. I love them both. And finally he told him, Yitzchok. Because in order that a person shouldn't lose his senses. And if this is said by Avraham, Avraham was the Gibor, Avraham was this one of the strongest pillars of the world, as we learned last week. He was the Amud Ha'ilam, he was the pillar of the world that stood up against the world. He was unbending and indefatigable. And even then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu approached him slowly. So then how much more so? When we have something of consequence to tell another person, we shouldn't come pass a piece to spring on him. But we must give it over slowly. And how much more so if he's a weak person or a sick person? Fortunately, we have today many people who think that when it comes to a sick person, it's a mitzvah to tell them everything. And tell them everything immediately. And unfortunately, there are even doctors who follow that. They say the person has to know. And a matter of course, they'll tell him everything. Here we see from this parsha and the Gemara, Shalaititrev Daitai, that's a good way of destroying the person. A second thing that we learn from here is how important Hachona is. How important it is preparation. But we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham to do this with a das shlema, with a perfect cool mind. See, he gave him 3 days. It was necessary for Avraham to have 3 days in order to think over this whole situation and calculate and decide exactly what he wants to do. Less than 3 days, Avraham might not have come to that calculation. And like we quoted the other Sech Halachos, this is what is meant by Hachona, to prepare yourself for a situation. If a person has a great decision to make, something of great consequence, he should give it time, especially if it has to do with something of ruchnias, of spiritual matter, which is beyond the person. He has to slowly come to it. He has to stay with it, he has to sleep with it. And only then will he come to a pure and a good decision. This is what we learn from here. And really, this should be a simple principle, because we have a general rule that principles that apply to the physical world apply to the spiritual world, and vice versa. And we know when it comes to the physical world. For example, if a person is going to do something which requires a lot of physical muscle, doctors know very well the importance of warm-up. That he shouldn't immediately try to run fast, or he shouldn't immediately try to lift something very heavy, or do something which demands a lot of muscle work, because the body won't be able to cope with it. They find out, they're finding out all the time, that many injuries, pulled muscles and tendons and back injuries, come merely because of the lack of warm-up, that he didn't prepare his body for it. So if this is true by the body, this is even more so than it's true by the emotions, and it's true by the mind, and it's true by the spirit. The spirit also has to be warmed up, also has to be prepared. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came slowly to Avraham and not pesapisom all at one time. Lech lechol el eretz ha-Moriah. Go to the land of Moriah. It's interesting, it states lech lecho. We have another place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham lech lecho. The beginning of Tarsus is lech lecho. Hashem told Avraham, Lech lecho mi'artzecho mi'maladetecho mi'beisavicho. Go out from your land, from your family, and mi'beisavicho.
and from the house of your fathers to the land which I will show you. Now, the parashas are related, because this first Lech Lecha is what made Avraham into what he was. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, it's time that you cut your old ties. If you want to be the great servant that you have the potential for, then you must cut all of your own bond, your old bonds from your old land and from your family and so forth. And in doing so, I will be able to heap many brachas on you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you great and so forth. And now came a second Lech Lecha. And this, the Mishnah tells us, was the final nisoyin, the final test given to Avraham of 10 tests. That I'm going to give you a challenge which will be the greatest. And you will have to rise up to it, and if you will, then also you will have brachos, like we see further on in the parsha, that the Malach Hashem, the angel, came and gave Avraham all of the brachos. El Har HaMoriah, El Eretz HaMoriah, go to the land of Moriah. What is the land of Moriah? So Rashi brings Yerushalayim. Go to Yerushalayim. Why is it called Moriah? Shemisham Hayro Yotze Yisrael. Because from here, Hayro, Torah, goes out to Yisrael. In the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, we had the temple. And the majority of Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael came to the ultimate of its sanctity. So the perfection of Torah was in Eretz Yisrael. The Sanhedrin was there, the great court. And not only was the perfection of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, but from there went out Torah to the entire world. Shemishom Yeitze Hara Yisrael. That's why it was called Har HaMoriah. So we see that even here, Yerushalayim played a key role. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham to go and sacrifice Yitzchok. Now this wasn't merely coincidental. If it was a test, the test could have taken place anywhere. Why did he have to bother Avraham to go to Har HaMoriah, to Yerushalayim? Kodesh Baruch Hu had a plan. This test, as we'll see later, would be for generations, would be for eternity. This would bring a sanctity to Yitzchak and to all of the children, to all of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that sanctity to come from Yerushalayim. Not only from Yerushalayim, but from the Har, the mountain of Yerushalayim. What was the mountain? So the Gemara says that was the Beis HaMikdosh. Avraham referred to the Beis HaMikdosh as a Har, as a mountain. So it states at the end of this parsha, the Har Hashem Yireh, that HaKadosh Baruch Avraham called it the mountain of Hashem. Later on it was called a Sode, a field by Yitzchok, and later on a Bais by Yaakov. But this is referring to the mountain that the Beis HaMikdosh was on. And not only did Hashem want it in the Beis HaMikdosh, but He wanted it that the altar that Avraham will build will be in the exact place where the altar will be built in the Beis HaMikdosh. Rambam brings this in Perek Beis of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. He brings this from the Gemara and also from Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, where he brings the Mizbeach Mekeimei Mechuvan B'Yeser. When we build the Beis HaMikdosh and we build the altar, we must be very careful to build it in the exact place. You must never change this place. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it here, dafke here.
What's so special?
Mizbeach ne'akad Yitzchak Avinu, shenem alech lecha l'eretz Amoriyo. Because this is the place where Avraham bound Yitzchak.
Mesedes biyar hakol. We have a tradition that the place where David purchased for the Beis HaMikdash and his son Shlomo, King Solomon, built the Beis HaMikdash,
and where they built the Mizbeach, the altar, that's where Avraham Okad Olav Yitzchak, bound Yitzchak. And it's also the place where Noach brought sacrifices when he came out of his ark from the flood. And this is the place where Cain and Hevel brought sacrifices. And this is the place where Adam Arishon, the first man, brought sacrifices. And this is the place where Adam Arishon was created from. That when Hashem created Adam, the first man, he was created Ofer min Adoma, out of earth. Where did he take the earth? Right from that place. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that here should take place the Akash Yitzchak. Therefore he told Avraham, go to Eretz Amoriyo.
V'haleihu, bring him up for an olah, for a sacrifice, for an offering. Rashi tells us, Le'omalei shochtehu.
Hashem didn't say to shechtem, to slaughter Yitzchak. He's elo, aleu, just bring him up.
Lefi shelohi ochef echovit HaKadosh Baruch Hu shochte, lo aleu lahar, la'asei se'oilu mishe'aleu omalei heriduhu.
The Almighty didn't want to, shecht didn't want to slaughter Yitzchak. He wanted merely to that Yitzchak should be placed on the altar. Once he's placed on the altar, then he should be taken down.
That's why it states Hahalehu.
Bring him up. And that's what we find later on, that once Avraham brought him up, the angel came and said, take him back down. But Avraham didn't understand this. Because generally when a sacrifice is commanded, so the sacrifice is brought on the altar and it's slaughtered. So Avraham did not understand this, and the Almighty did not want Avraham to understand this. Otherwise it wouldn't have been the great Messiah and the great test. But this is why Hashem said merely Bahaleu.
Bayash came Avraham Baboker. And Avraham got up in the morning, wherever it states Bayash came, that means Hashkoma, that means with dawn. The crack of dawn, the next day Avraham got up. He saddled his donkey. He took with him the two lads, and Yitzchak his son. And he chopped wood for the offering. And he got up and went to the place where Hashem told him to. Rashi brings, Vayash came, he got up in the morning at the crack of dawn, Nizdariz Lemitzvah. Because of Zrizus, he was anxious and enthusiastic to fulfill the mitzvah. By Yachvosh, and he saddled the donkey, who be atzmai, v'leisiva le'echad me'avodav. He himself saddled the donkey. Even though Avraham was a king, he was nobility, he had servants, he had shorasim, he had everything he wanted. Still, he saddled the donkey himself. Why? Sha'avo mikalkeles ashur. Because love distorts logic.
Even though he should have commanded one of his servants to, but because of his great anxiety and his great desire to fulfill the mitzvah, he saddled himself. The Gemara brings in Masechet Yuma that we learn a principle from here, a great principle. It's in Masechet Yuma Daf Chof Amud Beis. Thank you. Tanya.
B'yei Mashmini Yimel Besar Alose. It states in the Torah that on the eighth day you shall circumcise the person, his flesh. The mitzvah of Mila, of circumcision, shall take place on the eighth day. Balamit shekol hayom kosher lemila. Does not say when on the eighth day. From there we learn that the entire eighth day is qualifies for the Mila. As long as it's during the day, not during the night. Not the night before, because it's only a mitzvah during the day, and not the night after, because that's already the ninth day. So it can take place any time during the day, the Brisa says. Elo, bat shazrizi magdim la mitzvah. The mitzvahs. But those who fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem properly, with a zeal, with a speed, with a vigor and a love, then they should do it immediately on the eighth day. As soon as the eighth day, as soon as the sun comes up, as soon as possible, they should do it. Zrizin makdim la mitzvah. How do we know this? Well, this is what is known as zrizus la mitzvah. That any time we have a mitzvah, and it can be done any time that day, so it's kosher the whole day. But those that fulfill mitzvahs with zeal and properly, they will do it immediately. How do we know it? We learn it out from this pasuk. Shenemar vayashkem Avram babeike vayach veshes chamore. Because Avraham could have gone any time. Kodesh Baruch Hu came to him and he said, take Yitzchok to Har HaMoriah. Go on a journey. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was referring to tomorrow. Tomorrow, go on the journey and take him to the mountain where I'll show you. So Avraham could have got up anytime he wanted and started off anytime he wanted. He could have started off 9 in the morning or 10 in the morning or 12 noon. But it states, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, which means at dawn. Avraham was up at dawn. Why? Because even though the mitzvah was kosher the entire day, Avraham wanted to fulfill it at the first possible chance. Therefore, at dawn he was up, and he started to make preparations in order that he could leave as early as possible. From here we learn a great principle, that whenever there's a mitzvah, you could fulfill it any time that the Torah gives you the time, limits the time for. But zizim magdimi la mitzvahs, those who will fulfill the mitzvah properly with a zeal, they will do it immediately at the first possible time. This we learn out from Abraham. Incidentally, the Gemara brings in Masechet Pesachim on Daf Dalet. The Gemara in the Mishnah of the first Mishnah, Masechet Pesachim, it states all el Yudalet beikin es haChometz. On the eve of the 14th of Nisan, we search for the Chometz in order to collect it all to destroy it. So the Gemara asks, what do you have to start on the on the eve of the 14th of Nisan? When is the mitzvah to destroy Chometz? At noon of the 14th of Nisan. It states, Ach b'yei marishin tashbisei. At noon you're supposed to destroy the Chometz. We destroy it by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, because we don't want to wait till the last minute in case there might be a confusion of the time. So when do we burn our Chometz? We burn our Chometz 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock on Erev Pesach. But the Mishnah says you have to start searching for the Chometz the evening before. Why? Do it in the morning. This is what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara wants to say that maybe it's because of the mitzvah of Zrizus, because you're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah at the first possible time. So that's why we start from the night before already. So the Gemara says you cannot say that. Because even though there's a mitzvah of Zrizus, but that's only from the dawn of that day. So the night before, that far you don't have to go. How do we know? The Gemara says from Avraham. This is the way Rashi and Tosfos learn. From Avraham. Because why did he get up by Yashkem Avraham Babeike? Why did he get up at dawn? Maybe he should have gotten up at midnight, or at 1, 2 in the morning, and start to make his preparations. Then he could have started to saddle his donkey and chop his wood and do everything else. Why did he get up at dawn? So we see that the mitzvah of Zrizus is only from the dawn of that day, not before. So therefore the Gemara says the reason why we have to search for the Chomer the night before must be a different reason. It's not because of Zrizi Magdimah LeMitzvahs, because of the Mitzvah Zrizus, because then it would have been sufficient first thing in the morning. So the Gemara brings other reasons for it. Now we can ask a question. This principle, why do we learn it out from Abraham? Why is it that Abraham teaches us this principle? And why Dafke here? Here when it comes to the Akedah Yitzchok. This principle that when one fulfills a mitzvah, he should do it with such a zeal that it should be done at the first possible moment. For this we have to understand what is this mitzvah of Zrizus, this mitzvah of fulfilling something immediately. And concisely, the Gemara tells us Ein Hashkina Sheira Lei Miteich Atzlus Ve Lei Miteich Atzlus. Shechina, the dwelling, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will not be with a person if he's Atzlus. Atzlus means if he's sluggish, if he's slow, if he's lazy, if he's heavy. That's what Atzlus means. But let me take Atzlus. Or if he's melancholy, if he's despondent, if he's sad. In Ashkina Sheir, Kodesh Baruch Hu will not be with him. And let me take Simcha. Kodesh Baruch Hu is only with a person when he's in joy. Now the opposite of Zrizus, the opposite of fulfilling something with a great zeal and with a great force, is Atzlus. When a person is sluggish and he's slow and he doesn't feel like doing anything and he can't get himself to move, this is usually the cause of procrastination. Why? He doesn't feel like doing it today, he'll do it tomorrow, he'll do it another time. Here Abraham is talking about doing before he has to do it. And the procrastinator is talking about doing it later than he has to do it. So the opposite of Zrizus is Atzlus. Sluggishness, heaviness. And we see that that's contrary to Avedis Hashem. This is contrary to the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when one serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means that he's David with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He comes close to Hashem. He cleaves to Hashem. He attaches himself to Hashem. And the Gemara tells us that Ein Hashchina Sheira. The Shechina does not attach itself to someone who is sluggish. Someone who's slow. Someone who slumbers. So we see that Atzlus is contrary to closeness to Hashem, to serving Hashem. Therefore, Zrizus is synonymous with serving Hashem. Now, why is this? It's a very deep reason. The Maral writes in several places. The reason is, man was created from the earth, and he was given a soul. This is what man is. The earth comprises the physical component of man, and the other life that he was given, this comprises higher elements of man. The earth has no movement in it. There can be nothing more heavy or sluggish or slow than the earth. The fact is, this earth is immovable. It does not move under its own power at all. It makes no movement, doesn't speak, doesn't sing, it's totally silent. That's why a stone or the earth is called a daemon, silent. Everything that moves in this world creates a noise. The earth is total silence because it doesn't move. And therefore the earth is the opposite to movement. It's the opposite to life, because life moves. It's the opposite to song. That's why David HaMelech writes in many places, Psukim, for example, L'man Yizamecho Hashem V'Leideh, will sing out to Hashem and not be silent. Yoredei Duma, I should not be with those who will go down to silence, which he was referring to death. Movement is synonymous with life. You want to know something is alive or dead, you watch it. For example, if you see an insect or an animal and you want to know if he's alive or dead, you watch it. If he moves, he's alive. If he doesn't move, then you think he's dead. Movement is synonymous with life. Lack of movement, that's synonymous with the earth. Now from here we can come to a great principle. Enthusiasm. Exuberance. Life, that's not coming from the physical component of man. Can't. How could that come from earth? So that's coming from the nefesh of Adam, that's coming from the soul of man. It's coming from the breath of life that was given to man. On the other hand, though, sluggishness, heaviness, a laziness, a lack of desire to do, kfedes hateva, where the person wants merely to stay and sit in one place and not to do, a sheva al tase, this is not coming from the nefesh ha'odem, from the life which Hashem imbued in man. Because that is synonymous, that's in essence, movement that's coming from the earth that's in man. That's coming from the component of earth. And movement, and enthusiasm, and ambition, this breeds joy, this breeds simcha. The nefesh, the life of a person, is full of joy. But a lack of ambition, a lack of desire, a lack of movement, this breeds despondency, this breeds depression. And that's the earth. Therefore the Gemara says, Ein Hashchina Sheira, the Shechina does not attach itself to anyone, Miteich Atzlus, that's slow and slumbering, or Miteich Atzfus, that's despondent, or depressed, or sad, or melancholy, Ela Miteich Simcha, but only where there's great joy, where there's great ambition. When it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we have to attach ourselves and lift ourselves up to Hashem. He's the source of all life. Now man has a constant battle. It's a constant battle. When we speak of laziness or we speak of ambition, we're not speaking of two groups of people. There are lazy people and there are ambitious people. We're speaking about two forces which are in every person. Every person has that. He has a potential ambition and he has a potential lack of ambition. Because he's made up of two components. He's made up of earth and he's made up of nefesh, which came from Hashem. So then what does it depend on? Depends on the balance. If the component of earth in man overpowers his nefesh, and depending on the degree of it, that's how much he's going to resemble the earth. And that's how much atzlus and atzfus will be in him. On the other hand, if the nefesh or adam, if the life in the person, these sources that came from Hashem, from up high. If they overpower the chomer, the physical man, or they free themselves from the physical man, that's how much life he'll have in him. That's how much he'll attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will bring a tremendous ambition and a tremendous zeal. So what the Gemara tells us, that a mitzvah must be fulfilled with zvichus. It doesn't mean, does not mean, we're not speaking here of the quality of promptness, of punctuality. It's a very good quality, but we're not speaking of that. Why? Because mila is kosher b'chol hayom. Mitzvah's mila is acceptable the entire day. So if you do it earlier in the morning or later in the day, there is no difference in the punctuality of the mitzvah. If you do it after the day is gone, then you're tardy. Then there's tardiness. But if you do it any time of the day, the punctuality is the same. So then what is the Gemara telling us? That the mitzvah's mila should be fulfilled in all mitzvahs immediately if possible? Because a mitzvah is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When one serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the freeing of the nefesh or odom, of the life of man, from his physical component, where he elevates himself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that process is truly taking place, then it can only be with a great zeal and a great ambition. So when you fulfill a mitzvah immediately with zvichus, this is an insight into how you're fulfilling it. It's not that you're filling it more prompt. This is a different mitzvah. If a person fulfills a mitzvah sluggishly, then this is a very, very weak mitzvah. But if it's a true mitzvah where he cleaves and attaches himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there's a freedom from the physical man, and he becomes the spiritual person. The spirit is all ambition and all life, because this what anchors down the spirit is the physical earthen man which he has freed himself from. So that therefore it must be the essence of Jesus, the essence of zeal and ambition. Therefore the Gemara says a mitzvah must be with zeal, with ambition. Otherwise, it's not much of a mitzvah. Why do we learn this from Abraham? Because Abraham was the first one that freed himself from the physical world. The whole world had become sunk into earthly depths. The whole world was worshipping idolatry. There was no conscience left in the world. There was a world of immorality and everything else. Abraham was the one who rose above this, who elevated himself above this, freed himself from all of the physical anchors. So therefore, by rights, it's from Avraham that we should learn the mitzvah of Zrisus. And this is why Avraham was Nikra Oavi. He was called my beloved, who had attached himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why do we learn it right from here? Because this took the greatest Zrisus. The greatest earthly obstacles were here in the Akedah Yitzchok. The only way that Avraham could have fulfilled this command was only through an unbelievable, supreme freedom of his spirit from his body. If he was overpowered at all by his physical body, he could not have fulfilled this mitzvah of taking as dincho, as yechidcho, decho, asher ha'afto, as yitzchok, to sacrifice him. And when Avraham saw the great challenge and he rose to the test, It was with a overpowering love for the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It states, Ahava Mevil in his Rishus. A person has an overpowering love, this brings zeal and force. Therefore, at the crack of dawn, he was up. And therefore, it states, that he saddled the donkey himself because his love was so great that it distorted all logic. Therefore, this principle that there's a constant war that goes on in each person between the earthly powers in a person and the spiritual powers. And in accordance to how much his spirit frees himself or overpowers the earthly powers, in accordance to that is the force and the zeal and the enthusiasm that he has for life and mitzvahs of Hashem. This principle is learned from Abraham, who was the first to do this, and at the greatest point by the Akedah Yitzchok. This is a great lesson for us. Then it states, "Vayema shlishi, vayisa Avraham et einov, vayares amok merochik." On the third day, Avraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from far away. "Vayema Avraham el naorov," and Avraham said to his two lads, "Shvulechem peim achamor. You stay here with the donkey." The two lads, Rashi tells us, were Yishmael and Eliezer, his servant. "You stay here with the donkey, v'ani v'ana ne'echol atkoy. And I and the lad, Yitzchok, we will go until there, v'nishtachaven, we will bow down, v'nashu aleichem, and we will return to you." Abraham separated himself now from the two lads and the donkey. Now this is also has to do with what we were saying. This test was so great that Abraham had to come to such a level where he had to totally free his spirit from his body. Otherwise, he would not have been able to fulfill this mitzvah. And therefore, when he saw the place, Merochek, far away, he separated himself from the two lads, from Yishmael and from Eliezer and from the donkey. And I and Yitzchok will go alone, because they were not capable of going to such a level. Avraham was capable of going to such a level. Yitzchok was capable. But not the two lads, and certainly not the donkey. So therefore he said, "You stay here with the donkey, and we will go alone." But then he said, "V'noshuva, we will return." Now Rashi brings, "Niva v'leyoda." He inadvertently prophesies that we will both return. So Avraham now took the wood and he put it on Yitzchok, and he took the fire and the knife, and they both went together. And Yitzchok said to his father Avraham, he says, "Yes, here I am, my son." He says, "Yeah, here's the fire and here's the wood. But where is the sheep for the offering?" And Avraham said that Hashem will show us the sheep for the offering. "My son," and they both went together. It states twice, they both walked together. Why does it say twice? So Rashi explains. The first time, Avraham knew what they were doing, and Yitzchok didn't know. Yitzchok went with a great simcha. He went with a great simcha and a great joy, because his father told him that we're going to make an offering to Hashem. Avraham, on the other hand, he should have been a broken person. He's going to destroy his son. States Yachdov. They went equally. Just like Yitzchok had a great joy and a great love, so did Avraham. And this is for the reasons which we have just explained. The second time it states Yachdov, Yitzchok knew what was taking place. Why? Because Yitzchok asked, he said, you have the fire, you have the wood, you have the knife, but where's the sheep? So Avram answered, Elokim yirelei haseh le'eloh bini. Hashem will show us the sheep for the offering, my son. So Rashi tells us that Avraham indicated to Yitzchok the truth. Hashem will show us a sheep, and if he doesn't show us a sheep, bini, then my son will be the sheep. My son will be the sacrifice. So here Yitzchok understood the truth. And it states again, Vayelchu shneim yachdov, they both walked together. Just like Avraham had a great joy and a dveikus, an unbelievable cleaving to the Almighty in this mitzvah, so did Yitzchok. That's why it states Yachdov. First time Avraham knew and Yitzchok didn't know. And the simcha that Yitzchok had, Avraham had. The second time they both knew, and Yitzchok still had the same simcha as Avraham. Now we must realize here, therefore, this was not only a test for Avraham, this was a test for Yitzchok. This was a greater test, perhaps, even for Yitzchok. Later on, he surely knew, because Avraham bound him and put him on the altar and put him on the wood. And the Gemara tells us that whatever the Oves, the fathers, did, this was the roots. These were the roots of a tree for the nation. If you have a great tree, where does it get all of its energy from? Its roots. Where does Israel get its spiritual energy from? From their roots. Who are their roots? Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And the other of us. So everything that each of the forefathers did, this was a living foundation for the children to derive from later. Yitzchok, the Gemara brings in a case, I believe it's in Masechet Shabbos, was a greater protector from Klal Yisrael than all of the other of us. There was a time when Hashem asked Avraham, and he was willing to wash his hands, and Yaakov were willing to wash his hands from Yisrael, but not Yitzchok, because he said, I was prepared to give my life for them. I sacrificed my life on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara brings out that Yitzchok, because of this, had a closer attachment than any of the other of us. But he actually put his life in the hands of the Almighty. And the Gemara brings it, Rashi brings it at the end of the Sedra, which we will see soon, that the fact that Yitzchok gave his life for Klal Yisrael, this was a kapora of atonement every year for Klal Yisrael. But the commentaries also bring, and we see that Yisrael always had a power to give their lives for the Kedushas Hashem, for the sanctity of Hashem's name. Where did they derive that from? That was from Yitzchok.
They came to the place which Hashem told them. Avraham built an altar, and he put down the wood, and he bound Yitzchok, and he put him on the altar above the wood. And Avraham put his hand out and he took the knife to shecht his son. The angel of Hashem came from the heaven, and he said, Avram, Avram, and he said, Avram, Avram, and he said, yes, here I am. Do not put your hand towards the lad at all. Do not do anything to him. Because now I know that you fear Hashem. And you did not hold back your son, your only son, from me. Rashi brings, Avraham asked. He said, I don't understand. He says, first you tell me that you'll give me a son and he'll be my heir for all which a great nation will come from. Then you tell me to kill my son. Now you tell me not to touch him. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I told you to bring him here and to bring him up on the altar. Since you have brought him up on the altar, now I tell you to take him down. Vayisa Avraham eseinu vayar v'nei al achar nechaz b'smach bakano. And Avraham looked up and he saw a ram. And the ram was caught by his horns in the bush. Rashi brings, the Mishnah brings in Masechet Ovos, that this ram was created before Erev Shabbos of the creation of the world. So Avraham went and he took the ram and he offered him instead of his son. And Avraham called this place Hashem Yireh, the place where Hashem will see. Asher Yomer Hayim Bahar Hashem Yireh. That even today they say that we will be seen. He will be seen Bahar Hashem on the mountain of Hashem. And the angel came to Avraham a second time from the heaven, and he said, "I swear in the name of Hashem, Kiyar, because you did this thing, and you did not hold back your son, your only son, you shall be blessed. I shall multiply your seed like the heavens, like the stars of the heaven, and like the sand of the shores of the sea. And your seed will inherit the gates of their enemies." And all of your seed will be blessed. All of the nations of the world will be blessed through your seed. Ekev asher shomati b'keil, shomati b'keili, because you have listened to my voice. Now the angel came and he said, "Do not touch your son, ki ato yodati, because I know that you yirei elokim ato. Now I know you fear Hashem, that you will not withhold your son, your only son." Here we can ask a question: what does the angel mean when he's speaking in the name of Hashem? That now I know you fear Hashem. And until now, you didn't know that you fear Hashem. The Kodesh Baruch Hu surely must have known that Avraham feared him before. And surely HaKodesh Baruch Hu is Beichin Levoveis. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is the one who looks into the hearts of men. And he certainly knows what goes on. So what's the angel coming saying? Now I know that you fear Hashem. From this question, we can go to a second question. States, "Vayhi acharei advarim ha'ila," the beginning of the parsha, "Vayhi achar advarim ha'ila velekim nisu es Avraham." Hashem came to test Avraham. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to test Avraham for? Why are tests necessary? If we don't know what a person can do, so we test him. From here we can see what he can do. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So why must he test? And it states in the Mishnah Masechet Ovos, Perek Hamishi, Mishnah Gimel, Asor Nishonis Nisnase Avraham Avinu. This was not the only test. Avraham was tested 10 times. Ve'omad b'kulam. And every test he was successful in. Le'idiyah kamach ibosi shel Avraham Avinu, to show us how dear Avraham was to Hashem that he tested him 10 times. But why was it necessary? There are two answers to this. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives tests for two reasons. One answer is in the Ramban. Then both of the other answers are in the Maral, in his Pirush on that Mishnah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests a person, he knows what a person is going to do. But he tests him to give him the opportunity to do it. Because there's a great difference between potential and between reality. I'll give you an example. You have the earth.
We know the potential of the earth. That the earth has a potential that can bring forth crops. But there's a difference if it has the potential of bringing forth crops, or if it actually is planted and seeded and plowed and brings forth crops. One is a potential energy, one is a potential force, the other is an actual force. Many people in the world have potential powers, but they are never brought to fruitification. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants his righteous people, his tzaddikim, to perfect themselves. And to become not merely potential powers, but actual powers. Therefore he gives opportunities through tests. This is the first answer. This we see in everyday life. We see many people never rise to a challenge until they're actually challenged. They never rise to the occasion until the occasion comes, even though they always had the potential to do so. And once they actually rose to the occasion, or once they actually met the challenge, they're a different person. Many people are not in positions of responsibility, and they remain small, unimportant people. Others happen to fall into a position of great responsibility for one reason or the other, or one type of responsibility or the other. Some failed. Others succeed. And it was that responsibility, it was that particular situation which made men out of them. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, and to the tzaddikim he gives opportunities. And these are the tests. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures the test in accordance to the ability of the one being tested. You'll never give a test which is too difficult for the person. And the Medrash brings like a person who makes jugs, earthen jugs. He's a merchant. So he wants to show off his wares, he bangs on them. And he shows you how strong they are. So which ones does he bang on? The weak ones or the strong ones? He picks out the strongest ones to bang on. Or the Midrash says if a person has two bulls, two oxen, one is weak and one is strong, which one does he give the heavy burden to? To the strong one. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives opportunities in accordance to the individual. If a person has a weak potential, he'll give him a small opportunity. If a person has a great potential, he'll give him a great opportunity. To someone like Abraham, he gave him a crushing opportunity. 10 tests, each one greater than the next. But he knew that Abraham had the shoulders that could bear them, and this would bring out the potential in Abraham. This is one answer. Then there's a second answer. Both are true. It's just further in it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested only in the perfection of the righteous. But he wants to go further. He's interested that the perfection of the righteous are known to the world. And why is that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Ev Mishpot. He loves justice. He loves truth. He loves what is right and hates what is wrong. This justice, this truth, he does not want to conceal. He wants it revealed in the whole world. His justice and his truth. And actually, that's the job of Klal Yisrael.
to reveal the great justice and truth of Hashem. And therefore, when he has a righteous person, he wants that righteousness to be known. When he deals with a righteous person, he wants it to be known why he's dealing that way. If he wants to come and give all types of reward to an individual, doesn't want to keep it a secret as to why, doesn't want people to say that you're giving all types of reward to this person because you favor him, you like him more than someone else, or because you show more compassion to this one than someone else. No. He wants to reveal the ultimate perfection of justice, of his justice in the world. Therefore, if he gives reward to an individual, he wants the world to know that he's giving reward to this individual and this reward not to someone else, because this person is more deserving than the other person. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not only interested in the justice, but he wants that this justice, Ye Yisrael, this justice should be shown and known throughout the world. Now, he wanted to give Avram all of these brachas to he and his children, and the brachas in Eretz Yisrael and the multitudes. But all of the nations of the world would come and say, no, you decided to favor Avraham and not us. You gave Avraham all of the brachas and we're as righteous as he are, and you never gave us a chance, and so forth and so on. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal to the entire world that his justice is perfect. And any reward that he gives is perfect. That's why the Malach came now and said, Ato Yodati, now I know. What does it mean, now I know? So Rashi brings, Me'ati Yeshli Malahoshiv L'Sotan Lumas. Now I know I can answer the Sotan and the nations of the world that wonder, why did I choose Abraham? Now I know what to answer them. Because you feared me like no one else ever feared me. And this the Gemara says also in a similar vein in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara brings in the Masechta Sanhedrin that protests. Protests on the base. States, Kachno es Bincho. Please take your son. What does it mean, please? Omer Shimon Bar Abba, Eino El Loshin Bakosho. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begged of Avraham, do not fail me. Moshe Lomelech Bosavodom, Shom De Elom Milchom Es Harbe. Example, a physical king who went to many wars. And he had one soldier who was the best soldier, the Notskop. And this soldier never failed him. One day there came to be a specially difficult war. He said, please do not fail me in this war. In order that people shouldn't say, he's not such a great soldier, and the first ones also were not such successes. The king knew his soldier. He didn't want the soldier to succeed merely for success. He wanted the soldier to succeed in order that his famous soldier, the reputation of his famous soldier, shouldn't be tarnished, but they'll say that the first wars also were not that good. He's not such a good soldier. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avraham, do not fail this test, that they should not say in Mamish Berishenes, that the first tests also were nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested in his own sake here. He knew what Avraham would do. He gave him the test for the sake of the world, in order that the justice could be shown throughout the world.
And this is why it states Velekim Nisos Avraham. It doesn't say Hashem but Elekim. Wherever it states Elekim, that refers to the Bezdin, to the Din, to the Mishpat of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to bring out that what he's going to do to Avraham, all of the reward that he'll give him, will be in accordance to the exactness of justice. Therefore he had to show this to the world. This is the reason, these are the reasons of tests. Firstly, to bring out potential, dormant potential in a person, that it should become reality and not lie dormant. And secondly, in order that the righteousness of the person can be shown to the world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants righteousness to be seen, and he wants the reward that he gives to this righteous person also to be known. For what purpose? And finally, Avraham called the mountain Hashem Yiro'eh, the mountain where it will be seen. So Rashi tells us, what is that? That every year Hashem will see this. Every year Hashem will see what took place on Har HaMoriah. Throughout all the generations, because Afore Shel Yitzchok Sovra Ve'emed LeKapor. The ashes of Yitzchok always remain there. Even though he wasn't sacrificed, that's only because the Almighty stopped him. But as far as Abraham was concerned and as far as Yitzchok was concerned, they gave all that was asked from them. Therefore, the Har Hashem Yiro'eh HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at this mountain every year and he sees the ashes of Yitzchok. He sees the act of Abraham and the act of Yitzchok. And it's a kapora, it's an atonement every year for Klal Yisrael. That's why it was called the Har Hashem Yiro'eh, on the mountain of Hashem it shall be seen. This is why the Gemara brings that every year on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow shofar, we take the a horn of a ram, in order that we can bring this memory of the Akedah Yitzchok. And incidentally, this is the name of Yerushalayim. Gemara says that Yerushalayim was named from Avraham, because the first half of the name is Yiro'eh. And that's the name Avraham gave here, Har Hashem Yiro'eh, because here it's seen what Avraham and Yitzchok did for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other half of Yerushalayim, Shalem, that came from a different source. That came from Shane, he called it the City of Peace. But the first half came from Avraham, that in Yerushalayim, in the place of the Mikdash, it can always be seen. This gives us a few insights into this great episode of the Torah, and it should always be a schus for us, the act of Avraham in Yitzchok.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.